Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. The title of Dr. Dortch's sermon is A Good Place to Stand. The big idea is that our times of trouble are never greater than our God.
Let's bow together for prayer. Would you pray with me, please? God, we claim the promise that you are in this place, that you have called us here for a specific purpose, that you will to do good in us and make us more into the people that you have created us to be, called us to be, and are redeeming us to be through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from the prophet Nahum. As you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. It is in your Old Testament. Nahum is considered one of the minor prophets because his prophecy is not a lengthy prophecy. It's three chapters, but it is so substantive. And today, as we think about the importance of claiming certain truth for these uncertain times, there is no more important truth for us to claim than the one that promises how God is there for us. We can take refuge in Him regardless of the trials and tribulations swirling around us. We can take our stand with God. And that's what this verse promises us in the first chapter, the seventh verse. The Lord is good. He is a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. I dare say that most likely the earliest memory you have of God came about through a prayer that you learned as a little child. Probably a prayer that you learned around the family dinner table. That's where I learned the prayer. You know the prayer I'm talking about. The prayer that goes, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hand we all are fed. Give us this day our daily bread. It's the first part of that prayer that I think is so significant for us to claim. God is great. And God is good. God is good. You know, there are people who are of the opinion that the things that they learn in childhood are best left behind as soon as they can, because as we grow, we want to mature and we want to develop and we want to become more adult in every respect, even in our faith. And that is a good aspiration to want to grow in our understanding of God. But I think that the prayer we learned as little children is the consummate starting point. It is the perfect place to begin for us to have some understanding of what no doubt we all would say is the greatest mystery of all, the mystery of God. To believe that in a world where there is so much that is absolutely not good, when in a world we live in the midst of trial and tribulation and pain and distress, and evil seems too often to abound, to be able to take our stand on the conviction God is great and God is good is a good place for us to be in every season of life because of how it reminds us that the overarching source of might and perfection wills to move in this world and in us to bring about good and to work in our best interest. This morning, it may be that you're here This has been a challenging time for you for a host of reasons. We've been in a challenging time for these last 7 or 8 months. Everything that we had leaned on as normal has suddenly been uprooted and changed, and the shifts have taken place, and it has created a lot of confusion for a lot of us. But to know that in the midst of all of it, the one constancy, the one thing that never changes, is the fact that we belong to a good God. That is a truth that can bring us the greatest joy. That's the message that the prophet Nahum felt inspired to deliver in the day in which he lived. It was the 7th century. Nahum was a prophet to the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, Jerusalem. It was a time when God's people were facing great trial and tribulation. A threat had arisen against the nation, against their future. Everything was called into question. The threat came from the Assyrians and the capital city of Nineveh. The Assyrians had already overcome, overtaken, conquered their cousins to the north, the northern kingdom of Israel. It was defeated in the year 722 BC. And now, in the 600s, Nahum rises up to proclaim a word of comfort and encouragement to God's people in the face of the Assyrian threat that is looming large on their horizon. What's interesting to me in this prophecy is a couple of things. Number one, the name Nahum in the Hebrew means comfort. And so for God to speak to Nahum, to encourage him, to offer a word of support and encouragement, afforded Nahum an opportunity to live into his name. Okay, that's your name. Are you going to represent yourself as that kind of person who delivers words of substantive comfort? And even more, when you look at the entirety of Nahum's prophecy, remember I referred to him as a minor prophet. That doesn't mean that his message is less important than, say, one of the major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Their prophecies just are lengthier, they're more expansive. Nahum, as with several other important prophets in the Old Testament, only spoke a message that takes up 3 chapters in the Bible. And what I find interesting about it is that it all is gloom and doom. There is no light in the darkness, with the exception of the verse that I have read for you this morning, where Nahum reminds the people of God that in the face of all that is swirling about us, we can count on this: the Lord is good. The Lord is a refuge, a place where people who are experiencing pain and distress in the face of great trouble, they can take their stand with God. Why? Because He cares for those who place their trust in Him. Now, if you're looking for a connection between your life and the lives of those to whom Nahum ministered 700 years before Jesus, it will be this: that no moment in life is the final reality. No moment in life is one that we are cursed to deal with forever and ever. No final moment in life has the last say, the last word, especially the difficult times and the challenging times, the times such as we are living in now, the times that we think are never going to end. When is this going to be over? What Nahum reminds us is that in the face of all of the uncertainties that we are forced to contend with now, we trust those moments to a God who is great, who is good, who provides us a sense of shelter in the storm, who cares deeply for those who place their trust in Him. C.S. Lewis is a name that many of you will know. Surely you have read something from C.S. Lewis. He was a great apologist, a defender of the faith in the last century, a British writer who at one point in his life would not have called himself a person of faith, but who later in his life, at a point of deep need, came to the understanding, the realization that what mattered most in life was God's love for him in Christ Jesus. And he committed himself to Jesus as his Savior and Lord, just as did Lindsay. And for the rest of his days, he committed himself to helping other people understand the beauty of the abundant life to which God calls us in Christ Jesus. If you're looking for a C.S. Lewis primer, I would steer you to Mere Christianity. Mere Christianity. There's nothing mere about it, except that there are brief reflections on what are the basic truths, the essential truths of what it means to call yourself a Christian. And in one of his writings, Lewis invites us to understand the story of salvation in terms of God's work to restore a creation marred by sin. A creation that originally was good, but suddenly became marred by massive rebellion against Him, and how God did not give up on His world or His human creation. He invites readers to consider what it would be like to have been given the assignment of a great presentation. Perhaps those of you who are students or can remember being in the classroom, being given such a project, how hard you work on it. Lewis says you work hard to come up with a perfect presentation, and it's just as you have dreamed that it would be. But suddenly in the middle of the night, there is evil person who comes and mars your presentation so that when you wake up the next day, it's nothing of what you had originally envisioned it being. What do you do, Lewis says? Do you just give up on it? Do you just say, well, I guess that's how the cookie crumbles? That's not Lewis's words, that's mine. It's the fate that I must accept. No, you do that, Lewis says. Instead, you very patiently and compassionately go back and begin to do what you can to restore your creation. Lewis calls it the move from derangement, where what God has envisioned in creation has been deranged by sin. You know that word. We speak of people as being deranged. They're not together. Creation has become deranged, and yet the beauty of the gospel is that even though the good creation, read the book of Genesis, the first chapter, was good, it was good, it was good, when God decided to fashion Adam in his own image, and Eve, male and female, he created them in his image. Very good, very good. Even though Adam and Eve turned from God, and since that time each of us has turned from God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory, the goodness of God, God, Lewis reminds us, did not give up on creation and certainly not on his human creation. But he drew near in the person of Jesus. Became sin, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for our sake. That through him we might be reconciled, restored, rearranged with God. That's what Nahum is talking about. A God who does not give up on his people. A God who is not deterred by the trials and tribulations that exist in this world. A God who is not taken by surprise when things do not work out as we anticipate they should work out, but a God who in every moment is doing what is necessary to restore things in accordance with his good, acceptable, and perfect purpose, and has done that in Christ Jesus. The good news of the gospel is when we take our stand with a God who has taken his stand with us in Christ Jesus, we experience forgiveness of sin, an opportunity to start all over again. We are restored into fellowship with him, and we have the opportunity to serve the cause of Christ in our world today. As you're here this morning and you think about how can I apply that deep truth, God is great, God is good, God has not given up on this world, God in fact has drawn near to this world in Christ Jesus, we can find refuge and strength in him. How do I apply that to my everyday experience? I would offer you three very brief applications. In the first place, to understand that if, in fact, God is good and is the source of all goodness, what does the book of James tell us? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is constantly good. If we believe that, then every time we experience any form of goodness, that should be an occasion for us as people of God to praise him for how he has blessed us in that way. Now we're moving into the season of Thanksgiving. In just, what, 10 days or so? It'll be Thanksgiving Day, and you'll hear everybody talking about the importance of taking a moment to reflect upon the many blessings that have come your way and how significant it is for us to acknowledge God as the source of every blessing. And I have no problem with any of that whatsoever. That's precisely what Thanksgiving Day is all about. To praise our Creator for all of the abundance that God has made possible. It's a national holiday. Americans are the only nation who on Thanksgiving Day in just 10 days will be acknowledging their gratitude to God for his favor in our lives. It's wonderful. But as people of faith, why should we confine it to just a single day? Why can't it be a way of life? If you truly believe that God is good and he is a refuge in times of trouble, and he cares for those who place their trust in him, instead of surrendering to the bad and to the evil and to the distress that exists all around us, which so many people have in fact done. My life is just shot. I have nothing to look forward to, nothing to live for. No. You believe in the goodness of God and in his greatness, then every time something good happens in your life, it is an opportunity for you just to take a moment, just a moment, and offer a quiet prayer of praise. So celebrate every occurrence of goodness. Secondly, when you do find yourself in a difficult situation, instead of surrendering to that situation, woe is me, I'm always getting the short end of the stick, why don't you in those moments pray for God's perspective to help you see how God might in that very moment work in your life in such a fashion to bring good out of the difficulties that you're encountering. God is not taken aback by any of the evil that we contend with each and every day. But God, instead, is always at work to rearrange, in Lewis's words, to rearrange the derangement, not just in terms of its cosmic consequences, but also in terms of your personal consequences. God is able to do something miraculous in your life, and in the worst of times, God most often shows up. And as someone has said, in those times, not only does God show up in those moments, God shows out. God does something that only you can do. And so to pray for the perspective, to see God, how are you at work in this time? You take this present season of COVID. There have been so many opportunities that God has given us at a time when everyone else is just ready to throw in the towel. What numerous opportunities has God given, not just to us as a church, but to so many folk in the life of our church to participate in that work of rearrangement, restoration, dare I say it, redemption, that is taking place even now if we would only take our gaze away from the trouble and place it on God. So celebrate the goodness and pray for God's perspective. And lastly, ask God to give you a chance to join God in this work of rearrangement and restoration that God is about right now. See, the goodness of God is something that is not to be hoarded as if we are misers. Yes, God does good for each of us because He cares for those who trust in Him. His goodness abounds in their lives, but part of the reason that is to happen is so that God's people can share that goodness with others who are hurting. Some years ago, I was able to meet the personal lawyer of Mother Teresa. She actually had a personal attorney. Mother Teresa, you know, who committed her life to serving the poor in India. And as I was able to have conversation with this new friend over the life and the impact of Mother Teresa and kind of hear their heart, for one thing, it challenged this Baptist to expand my heart to care for others, to ask God for opportunities to serve those on the margins as she was doing in India. Could I do that in the place where God had put me? And as we were talking, he told me that the question that Mother Teresa had been asked more than any other question was, how can you believe in a good God when you are in the trenches with people who are suffering such great adversity. If God cares for those people, then why are they in the shape they're in? It's a good question. I mean, if God cares, wouldn't God do something about it? Maybe God doesn't care is really what the person asking Mother Teresa the question was getting at. Maybe God doesn't care. Mother Teresa, as quick as she could be, said, oh, God cares for everyone. And when people are hurting, it's not because God doesn't care about them. It's because not enough of us who call ourselves God's people care about them enough to alleviate their pain. It's not that God doesn't care, she was saying. It's that not enough of us care. Yeah, we live in a community where people do well for the most part. And yet, you know this to be the case because of your own experience. There are a lot of people who are hurting, a lot of people who are struggling. A lot of people, yeah, they may do well from the world's vantage point, but inside, their souls are shrinking. And God cares. God cares for those people. Do you care? Do you care enough to ask God for the opportunity for God to use you to do good for them? Nancy Spiegelberg is a children's author. She writes children's spiritual books. One of her books is titled, If I Could Ask God. Now, that's a pretty heady title. I think an adult would be interested in a book like that, because we all have questions that we'd love to ask God. Of course, children, you know, they're just full of questions. Children are full of questions. That's what makes them so special. And she said that what she wanted children to understand is that God is big enough to handle all of our questions. God is great. God is good. God is willing to entertain all of our questions. There's not a question any of us has that God is not willing to hear and to which God is not willing to respond, to which God has not already responded through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But she said, what I wanted the children to see is more than anything else, God just wants us to draw near to His presence, to bring our questions to Him, so that even if we don't get a satisfactory answer, you know, children, why is this so? And then you tell them, well, why is that so? And you tell them, and it's just an endless repetition of why. Sometimes children don't get their questions answered to their satisfaction. Some of us adults don't either. But if you draw near to God, who in Christ has drawn near to us, you learn to live with a question till God helps you to see the answer. And so Spiegelberg said, in my own life, I guess I wrote the book because I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of questions, and the answer that came to me was just to draw near and to celebrate God's goodness in my life. And she said, what I came to discover, I went to God, in her words, out of her bareness, exposed, vulnerable, dependent, just like a little child. I came to God in my bareness with an empty cup. If I had only known what God was willing to give, I would have run to Him with a bucket. God's goodness exceeds our small imaginations. Don't just run to God with an empty cup. Run to God with a bucket which God will overflow with goodness to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in need of God to work in your life as only God can do. It's been a time that's been marked by great trouble and challenge and adversity and suffering. But if you draw near to God, whether you this day are happy or hurting, take your stand with Him, because the Lord is a refuge to all of those who find themselves in a place of trouble. The promise of God, evidenced in the gift of Jesus Christ, is that God will bless you and God will keep you and God will do good for you and in you and through you every single day of your life.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.